Now you just can't leave.
What more do you want from me?
Oh, yeah. You already know. You already heard what Sonny said. Now you just can't leave. You're locked in for another hour with your good brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, on what we like to call the office hour. And, you know, you can always find us Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com, or you can find us, if you want to stream, as of now, True Crime True Stories, and you can find that streaming on many of your streaming networks. And you know, it's a decent day. It was freezing this morning. It was frigid this morning, man. You know, but the temperature has gotten to be, you know, kind of moderate. Buckle up if you're on the East Coast. We're supposed to get some more record-breaking rainstorms this weekend. So, dress warm and stay dry. You know what I'm saying? This week, man, it's going to be an interesting... this particular show, man, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening. And, you know, shout out to my brothers, Joseph Ward and Patrick Irvin with On the Shoulders of Giants. And, you know, if you haven't gone to and locked in, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to my brother's channel. Make sure you subscribe. You know, it's one of those things, man, where the conversation generally starts off in one place, and then it gets to that place where we have to actually identify the role of men and women in our community. And, you know, and it got to the point where we started talking about the evolution, right, of a man. The evolution of people, but more so the evolution of a man, and how few of us are actually going to get to that place. You know, we pretty much operate as a people. We've been programmed to operate, and then we operate in our primal state. This is why it is so easy to be lured into the promiscuous nature, the culture of promiscuity. All those different things. It's so easy to be lured into those things because we're already operating, you know, from that mental state. We, as people evolved, and I don't know how, you know, because there have been theories, movies, and so forth, but also historically speaking, where certain aspects of this existence, you sort of evolve into a newer state, a higher state. And one of the things that, you know, we've been speaking to and speaking of is the fact that in this particular higher state, as black men, you know, a lot of times that's not a place that we're respected. You know what I'm saying? It's not a place that we're respected, or the, you know, that state of mind that we come into, it's not respected by many people. And, you know, in fact, it's often a shaming tactic that's put in place when we don't operate. We're at that place when we can be sexually manipulated. We're struggling with that as a culture. And I think that that's something that we need to really take heed to, pay attention to, you know, regarding how we are, you know, how we're seen in society and the world globally speaking, but also how we move and operate. As men who aspire to be leaders of their community, you can't be in a place where it's so easy for you to be manipulated. It just doesn't function. It doesn't work well for you. And the result will always be you will be consistently put in positions that are not advantageous to you. Other people are going to benefit off of you. Other people are going to benefit off your genius, your talent, and so forth. And, you know, that's because they found ways to get in there and manipulate you. They found ways to tear part of your self-esteem. Therefore, you becoming egomaniacal. So, you know, esteem and ego can't exist in all the same places. So if you have a big ego, typically you have low self-esteem. Ego is loud, boisterous, you know, always in the place or puts themselves in a position where it has to prove itself over and over again. As the peacock. When you have confidence is quiet. When you have esteem radiates from you. You don't have to say a word. And we really have to get to that place where we don't care about the manipulation and things of that nature. We don't care about how it's put in terms of how it makes us, you know, look in the grand scheme of things or, you know, in the grand scheme in terms of that place where we can be manipulated. You have to understand something, you know. You have to rise above that. You know, one of the best people I ever knew, you know, a good brother by the name of Aaron, you know, who unfortunately is no longer with us. One thing he used to always say is small thing to a giant. And I think we need to start adapting that more often. The notion, the concept that these things that we're dealing with are minor compared to the major figures we are. So, you know, I think that's something that needs to be addressed. You know what I'm saying? And you got to make sure now, because you have women out here that say all the right things. How they love a man that can't be manipulated by his sexual lures. You know, a man that can't be manipulated by sex is a powerful man. But the contradiction is these same women will still try to shame those men sexually, even if they have no proof, evidence to the contrary, if they've never been with that person. But, the, you know, and I'm going to speak on something that I've been quiet about for almost 2 years, because this person keeps coming into the comment section. So I'm going to speak on it. Because this needs to be addressed. And one of the things that I'm going to read an article. And hold tight. Article's coming. All right. And the title of the article is "Of Alpha Widows and the Dangers of Dating Them." And this article can be found. It was a lifestyle. What is it? The namproject.org. M.project.org. So it starts off like this. She had an encounter with a high sexual value male. He has a chiseled body, status, great personality, and is a perfect mating companion and wealthy. The problem is she can't forget him and compares all potential men she dates with him. Now, you know, and let me be clear, you don't have to be all those different things, but what it basically did was outline the particular parameters that identify a man, you know, in terms of his sexual market value. So a woman, and, you know, there's some ins and outs with that. So it states, it goes on to further state, the subject of an ex is sometimes a complicated one. As one tries to get over a relationship, there are some who might have a longer than usual impact. Setting the pace on how one's ideal mate should be, making it complicated to stay in a relationship. An alpha widow is a term that's used to describe a woman who holds attachments and is still fixated on the man who had the most impact in her life. Now, I bring that last part up because I'll be honest, I haven't been in a relationship. I haven't been in a relationship since, well, I would say it's really close to over a year and a half, close to 2 years. I haven't been in a relationship. And I can't tell you how happy I am to be out of that relationship. This is full. This is some transparency here. I'm want to share with y'all tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this. So, you know, in transparency speaking, you know, I dealt with somebody and, we came to a mutual agreement that we, at least I thought it wasn't on good terms, but you want to go your way, I'm going to go my way. After that, I was done. No more conversation, no more reaching back, no more talking about it. It was done, done. And within 12 hours, that was my last contact attempt or contact in terms of back and forth with this particular person. Unfortunately, I was the recipient. Well, I'm not even going to get into that. I'm not going to get into all those details. I'm just going to say, you know, when you have the government receiving false allegations about you and you have them combing your house with a fine tooth comb, swiping, you know, the railings with white gloves on, you know, and it's just one of those situations where I was just glad to be away, glad to be apart. You know, it was a lot of things that, you know, but as an elder once told me, those things, even as terrible as they were, I should not have felt betrayal. I should have been grateful that revelation had presented itself. And so what was hidden was now revealed. You say what's in the dark shall soon be, you know, displayed in the light. So apparently, like I said, unread text messages, you know, for several weeks. And, you know, like I said, of false allegations, you know, smear campaigns and all these things took place. So, you know, I was hoping to not have to ever talk about this publicly because I'm not the type of person that wants to give, you know, a dead situation life. And I moved on with my life. I'm doing quite well. So, apparently that person keeps finding their way to this channel, which is ironic because I didn't even know that they can find me. That person's blocked on everything. Her husband, all those things, they're blocked on everything. So how they can still see me and find me here, I don't know. But we see them in the comments, the messy comments. And this is what I say about the thing about the sexual shaming, things of that nature, you know, body shaming, all these different things that, first of all, you know, I really don't give a fuck about none of that. And I'll just be blunt about that part. I don't care. I don't necessarily care about that part. You know, because the two people involved know the truth. You know what I'm saying? He said, so there's no need to go back and forth. There's no need to respond to any of it, which I pretty much don't. But this is the problem when you alpha widow a woman. When you're the best man that she's ever encountered, no matter how many times she's been married, when you're the best man she's ever encountered, no matter what the man she's currently with does for her, you know, she's hit that wall to the point where, because you can't, there's no comparison. Therefore, you're going to constantly be on this person's mind. They're going to constantly, over a year later, they're constantly trolling you. They're going to use different names. They're going to hide behind avatars and things of that nature. I'm just making it plain. This is one of the dangers of dating an alpha woman, you know, alpha widow and a woman. And so this conversation I had with the young guys, man, about being more selective, being more attentive to the red flags. There were plenty. I was just, you know, I purposely blinded myself to certain things, and I take full accountability for that. But the bottom line is, you know, when somebody's alpha widowed, you know, and I'm going to read another excerpt from this article. All right. The alpha widow. This is when a woman can't get over a man with high sexual value who is no longer wishes to be in a relationship with her. In her mindset, this alpha male is superior to most, if not all, of the other men pursuing her. And she ends up rejecting them, or if she says, if she does say yes to them, the relationship is usually rocky due to the constant constant complaints in comparison with this alpha male figure that she can't have. So it's just to offer some levity to the comment section, just to, so you know, and I should have hit y'all trigger warning. And so, you know, it's you know, small things to a giant. It's not stopped anything on this side of the boundaries. It hasn't stopped anything over here. In fact, 2023 was probably one of the most productive years of my life. You know, and 2024 seems to be pretty promising. So I have no real cares about any of the stuff, but I wanted to put this show out there because I think it's something that it's like one of those things where it's cancer. If you don't address it, you know, as it metastasizes, it'll spread. And you know, even if it ain't that person, it'll spread to other people. And I think there needs to be some checks involved there, you know. Because, and here's the thing, right? I'm one of those people who believes if you were ever in a relationship, there's certain things that you should keep within that relationship. So I won't be out here slandering her. And I'm only speaking from my perspective. I'm not talking about that, of those insults, things that niche. I'm just talking about from my perspective. I won't release none of the things or spill some of the beans, or as you know, you ladies and emasculated men say, spill tea. I don't do that. You know, it things didn't work. I actually think that there was some more stuff going on than even I'm willing to say publicly, but it's just, you know, when you're in the movement and certain things happen in the movement, hell, William O'Neill was outed for exhibiting similar behavior when he was in Chicago's chapter of the Black Panther Party in 1968. So I'll just leave that there for those who, you know, are interested. But so I'm just going to read a little bit more because there's some other things I really want to get into tonight. And, you know, it's night while I'm recording this. So, here's the thing. So according to relationship experts, dating such a woman can be one of the worst experiences a man, for a man, since one loses the ability to pair bond with other partner's mind, with the other partner's mind is not in the union, or excuse me, when the other person's mind is not in the union, but elsewhere. And so this actually speaks to the follow-up relationship. And, you know, you know, you work all day long and you have to prepare meals for, you know, children and, you know, and your spouse or whatever. And, you know, you have to come home and do all that. And then, you know, I mean, you would think the person doesn't really have time to be following me anywhere, you know, listen, man, you can't mix, like, where do you have the time for all this? And you should be maybe considering helping out, you know, your husband with his mixtape, you know, going to need somebody for ad libs. You know what I'm saying?
I'm done with life. It is all Jermaine's fault.
It's always Jermaine's fault, y'all. And we gotta, you know, this is one of those things where you just have to just take it, like, and that's the thing, like, right, as a man, we're taught to just take it. And it's funny because I was having a conversation with a young brother of mine, and I'm not gonna speak on who, but young brother was talking about just some trials and tribulations in life, and he's young, early 20s, and he said, you know, he just looked at me, and, you know, the young brothers call me Unc, you know, Unc, you know, me and my friends had a saying in high school, you know, no matter what it is, no matter what it does, you know, NGE. It's never good enough. It's never good enough. And that's the plight of black men. It's never good enough.
What more do you want from me?
It's never good enough. Too many brothers from too many places are sharing this same notion, are sharing the same life experiences, have come to the same conclusions. Let me see if I can hold on, let me calm the music down for a sec. I want y'all to hear this clip, right? I think this brother's doing some spoken word. I'm not sure. But hold on for a second. Cause this brother was spitting. Hold on one second.
Problems with saying words like weak and help. But when a man says, I'm tired, inquire, probe, demand him to elaborate, because tired is different. Tired doesn't mean sleepy. Tired can mean that I'm tired of living, tired of going on, tired of moving forward, tired of just dealing with this life, tired of losing. And you know that your man does not take losing well. And you know that your brother does not take losing well. And you know that your father does not take losing well. Do you know that your son does not take losing well? So if he feels like he's losing in the game of life, he might not just take his ball and go home. He might go home and take some pills or a bullet. Your man's tired is different. He needs more affection, more energy. He's tired of dealing with the shit that's going on, tired of going on, tired of moving, tired of losing, feels like he lost anything, feels like he's not worth anything. And I know what you're probably thinking. Why can't he come to me and say that he's feeling suicidal Like, he tells me he's hungry. Because society doesn't let strong men say that I want to kill myself. Because society finds more value in a valuable man more than a vulnerable one. Because strong men have problems with saying words like weak and help. So we strong men push our pain deep inside our bodies, turning temples into tombs. Tombs turn into tumors and ulcers and self-doubt and anxiety until one day we don't know where we're going to put it. And then my best friend.
Yeah. Right. And he's about to get into an experience that his best friend had in regards to men just breaking down. And the fact that we are in a place in society, especially black men. And I want to really preface that, man, because black men are shamed for everything we do. I was talking to somebody recently. They were saying, I'm just tired of hearing black women being bashed and things of that nature. And it's like, you know, even in that conversation, I couldn't say, you know, sister, sometimes the truth isn't bashing. It's just the truth. You know, BGS Itmore did a review, and I was trying to find it, but I ran out of time. But he reviewed a video about, it was a brother he was on, you know, he was being interviewed by his sister. And he was talking about how he goes back and forth to Africa. And he was talking about how even in different parts of Africa, when American black women go to Africa, how they have lower, very much lower standards for African men than they have for black men in America. How a black man can be in a tent village. No power source going into the tent. Living literally off the beach. So we would call that in America a beach bum. I'm not calling the brother a bum. I'm just saying that's the terminology for it. Somebody who lives on the beach. And his sisters are talking about, I can get down with that. I think I can adapt to that. And here in America, you got brothers who have to make at least six figures to get with that same woman. And, you know, I mean, it got worse. You know, because they were talking about how they had to learn that they could not talk to the black men in Africa, the African men, with the same type of disdain that they talk to the African American men here in this particular continent. They were speaking to the fact that, you know, they can't, a black man, listen, Africans, and not just Africans, men across the world. Men across the world will put hands on women like it's nothing. Sean Connery, Mr. 007 himself, was on an interview with Barbara Walters. And she had brought up to him that in a past interview, he had said it was okay to slap a woman. Sean Connery's response was, she asked him if he still felt that way. And he sat there and he thought about it for a second. And he said, absolutely. Every once in a while, she needs a good smack. And when Barbara Walters was like pushing and elaborated, he said, yeah, if she gets testy, if she doesn't want to let it go, if she keeps pushing my buttons, she deserves to get smacked. This is Sean Connery, 007. Can you imagine a black man anywhere in the world saying that? Like, I was watching, it was crazy, right? Because even in movies and television shows, if you see a black man slap a woman in a movie or get into a fight with a woman in a movie, if she's not winning that fight, oh, it's all types of, you know, misogyny going on, misogynoir, and we're pushing a culture of abuse. And I'm saying it could even be in the same movie. If a white actor slaps that same sister, you don't hear outrage. You don't hear the cries of misogyny. You don't hear the outward cries toxic masculinity. I just think it's oddly odd that black men still have to carry this pail of water. And you know, go back to the interview. Like I said, it was a good interview. I wish I could have clipped it up. You know, BGS talks about, well, wasn't necessarily BGS. Shout out to BGS Evermore, man. What he spoke with the interview that he clipped up spoke to was the fact that not only do black women go to those countries and they're willing to lower their standards, but they also go to those countries and they become sponsors of the men they deal with. But no matter what they do, they recognize their place in that society. In other words, no matter how much she makes, how much more she makes than him, she will never be in a position to dominate him. And I thought it was an interesting line of words, too, that the sister that was describing this was using. Because this was an American sister that was talking like this. And it's like, damn, I don't think they really recognize that what they actually are saying. Why is it that women want to dominate the men? And so, and I thought about that, right? Because I thought about that from the perspective of the relationship between black men and black women here in America. First and foremost, black women are mad if you don't go, if you suggest going Dutch on a date or 50-50. And when you talk to them, they'll say, well, you know, you ask them, well, why is it that you have standards for these men over here that are way up here and standards over there? Why is there a difference of standards? Well, it's different. What's different? You can't say that African men treat you better than African American men, because that's bullshit. That ain't y'all complain about it, man. It's African American sisters. There's like 8 in Gambia that were murder, death, killed within the last few months over there. I'm just saying. I mean, because we hear about the passport bros, and everybody wants to talk about how the passport bros keep getting hit up in these Spanish countries, but the sisters are trying to repatriate to Africa to find a man. And when that man ain't being treated the way he want to be treated, she gets treated, and sometimes she don't recover from the treatment. I was late with that one. But and then the sister went on to talk about how, you know, and then there was other videos that collaborated, that corroborated her experience. And African women are taught to be submissive to their men at a very young age. African women are taught to be submissive. In other words, they're all taught to be like Cinderella, somewhat. I won't say Cinderella. Cinderella is poorly treated. But they're all been taught to cater to their men in every way, shape, or form. Even sexually. Sexually, which was the flip, you flip the script in America. Sexually, black men, you are service. You're concubines in terms of black women. And you better not have a night off, because Lord have mercy. If she's not pleasure.
I'm done. I'm done with life. And it's all Jermaine's fault. It's always Jermaine's fault. I'm done.
It's always Jermaine's fault. If you show up, don't have a night off. You know, but in Africa, their orgasms, put it like this. There used to be culturally accepted to slice off a woman's clitoris in Africa to stop her from being sexually promiscuous. In many countries, many customs in Africa. That's how patriarchal it is in certain places in Africa. They don't play that shit. And so we need to, you know, and so the conversation, and brothers, like, the sisters have no regard for our health. And I'm gonna say, you know, I'm not gonna try to qualify by saying not all. I mean, if this doesn't apply to you, then let it fly. But for the most part, the sisters don't have a lot of regard for us. There was a clip that I wanted. I thought that I had, I prepped it. I'm tripping on these clips today, y'all. But there was a clip that I thought that I had prepped, and this particular clip was about an Uber driver who was picking up a fare around midnight in Chicago a couple days ago. And this woman is getting in the back of his car. Now, she's looking at somebody. You can see she's looking at somebody. She starts grinning. I'm not sure whether it's a scared grin or what, but she starts grinning and slouches down in the seat and said, he about to shoot up the car. You better drive. And the brother in the front is trying to, he's trying to, you know, make sure that he has the right person in his car. He's checking his phone to make sure he has the right pickup. And, you know, she's like, he about to shoot up the car. He's going to shoot up the car. And so the next thing you know, you're pop, 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 pop. Like, you hear the gunshots going off. And the brother is now flooring it. And you could tell, like, Chicago, just like Philly, has those speed cushions. So you can see his car bouncing up the air. Now, he's tearing his car up. He don't know how many bullet holes are in his car. The whole time she's in the back seat, and the guy's, like, losing it. Like, what the hell is going on? And she's in the back. So I'm going to call the police. But you can tell that she didn't call anybody on that call. She texted somebody. She was texting somebody. And she thought it was cute. Put this man. Now, first of all, you know, we got this clown out here, you know, on his old kamikaze. On his kamikaze. You know what I'm saying? Just doing the worst. You put this other brother in the position to be a kamikaze. He didn't even sign up for the assignment. And I had a girlfriend like that when I was in high school. This is back in the early, late 80s, early 90s. And I was dating a chick. She worked at the supermarket around the corner from me. I was living by myself. Don't ask why. I was a teenager with a house. And a car. And I would often drop her off. Well, I would drop her off every night after she came to my house from work. And when I'm dropped her off, she lived in the Richard Allen Projects. Now, I know that the Richard Allen Projects don't exist like it used to. But back in the day, the Richard Allen Projects was one scary fucking place to be. And there was one of those things, like, they lived like, it was the low-level projects, but you have to drive into the parking lot. It's one way in, one way out. And I'm driving down there, and I'm like, she's like, why don't you drop me off at my door? And she thought it was, and I did it once, and I said, but I tried to pull out. These cats surrounded my car. So I had to burn rubber for them to move out my way and let me out the damn parking lot. And I called her that night and was like, yo, what the fuck was you thinking? And she was giggling and laughing because she thought it was cute. Ain't nothing going to happen to me around here because this is my hood. I said, what's up? I never dropped her off at her door again. Women get excited when it comes to making, like, they get a thrill out of this whole ordeal where they think men are trying to elicit them, or a man has to go through some type of danger in order to be with them. They get excited about that. They think that shit is cute. And they don't really care about whether or not something happens to you. And this is why I always tell them, man, listen, if a woman tells you she has, this is one of the reasons why it's dangerous to date a woman who has children and those children are still young, or she's still somewhat involved with the father of those children. I had a homie back in the day, and this homie was seeing his chick going up in the house, and she knew that the father of her children, her ex, was you know, not too right in the head. But she thought it was cute because she wanted what she wanted. So she invited him over. And don't you know when he left out, main man came out of the bushes and ambushed him. Shot him up, his chest going. Him dead on the steps. Hospital, dead on arrival. And like I always say, they be the loudest ones crying at the funeral. Not because they're upset that the brother got killed. They're just mad because they got blamed for the brother that got killed. They got blamed for the act. And that's the real reason why they're crying. They don't want people pointing the finger at them. But you lining cats up. You're lining dudes up. And there's never a consequence for it. That man in Chicago got lined up. He ain't have anything to do with anything. And women always surround themselves with simps. All you fake gangsters are simps. Out there crying over a chick to the point you ready to hurt another person because of something she did. And see, that stuff catches up to you. Not to say it's deserved all the time. But just making simps popular, making simps, you know, having male beta orbiters. So a situation happened in Brooklyn over a couple days ago where two twin girls was at a bodega at about midnight. They went to a family gathering and they went across the street to get something to eat. First and foremost, I always tell women, you do not go anywhere after certain hours in certain neighborhoods and communities. It's just stupid. But I often say women do not assess danger the same way men do. So they wasn't even aware of how to even identify the danger that would eventually claim one of their lives. These twin sisters went to the bodega. There were some guys in the bodega, and I guess the sisters, they were cute. And this dude, this clown ass dude, and I'm calling him that because he's weak for doing that. He's a sucker. Got mad because the girl wouldn't give him her Instagram page. They had to drag him out the store, his homies. And apparently he was drunk. Somehow, some way, he broke free. I'm not sure whether the girls tried to squeeze past him on the way out or not. He ended up stabbing one of them to death. This is what happens when you popularize simps. Simps are weak men. And when you incentivize them to think that, you know, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not blaming her for this particular situation. I'm just saying, when you look at the big picture, this is part of a culture that has bred weak men into existence and gave weak men some type of audacity, some type of entitlement to which they act like bitches when they can't get their way. I've been rejected more times than you know. You have not heard one incident, one single story about the professor pressing anybody. Once I get rejected, I'm good. You can't even come for a follow-up question after that. I don't want nothing else to do with you. I'm increasing the distance in between us. Unlike Sonny and Homeboy moving like.
Now you scared me.
So, and I want to get into something else real quick too. Let me see what I can do with this here. Chill with the music for a second. I love that. Yo, that used to be my intro when I was doing my podcast on YouTube. That used to be the intro music. And there is, hold on. Okay, let me get out of this. There's a clip I want y'all to hear from a brother. Cause you know, I'm gonna go back to this conversation I had with, you know, people who affectionately call me Neff, you know what I mean? Call me Unc. Because just going back to the never good enough thing, right? And this is what I say, you know, to the young brothers. She don't like you. I just gave you examples of how when a woman likes you, she'll break the rules. They go to Africa, they break the rules. They deal with white men, they break the rules. They deal with Latino men, they break the rules. But for you, black man, she mad at you. She don't like you, fam. And that's, you know, I'm going to start bringing that series back out. So let's start going over some of the expectations, right? First of all, you know, they say stuff like if he leads properly, she'll fall into her feminine. Let me explain something to y'all. She is never going to fall into her feminine for you. Never going to fall into her feminine for you. I've had women say that I felt feminine around you and I had to fight that shit because ain't no way I'm going to be that vulnerable to a man. What they really meant, they ain't going to be that vulnerable to a black man. And I keep hearing, well, they have these past traumas. I am not. Get your trauma together. Get your trauma together. Because with me, I ain't got no time for people bouncing off that wall. The wall is undefeated. The wall is unforgivable. And a lot of women have hit that wall. And now all of a sudden, all you hear about is their traumas to why they can't be a decent human being and a decent partner. I don't even like using the word partner or a decent mate in a relationship. All right. But I want y'all to, because the second one, right? Our women don't know how to follow. But they always want to place the onus on us. Like I said before.
I'm done. I'm done with life. And it's all Jermaine's fault. It's always Jermaine's fault. I'm done.
It's always Jermaine's fault. It's always going to be Jermaine's fault, y'all. Just keep that in mind. So she says that she's, you know, a good follower. You cannot lead anybody who is planning a mutiny before they get on your ship. Prior to even getting on your ship, getting on your plan, getting on your program, she's planning a mutiny. You cannot do anything with her. She's going to have you out there crying like,
what more do you want from me?
All these damn standards that you have to have. And then there's another one. Take her out of survival mode so that she can rest in her feminine. A woman can't be feminine if she's still stuck in a survival mode. Let me. There's a brother by the name of the Q-Pill. His name is Q-Pill. I want y'all to listen to this brother and listen to what he has to say about this shit.
If you want her to be submissive, take her out of survival mode. Let her be a woman. Actually, if you want a submissive woman, just date a woman with a more agreeable personality, because that's what actually determines a woman's level of submissiveness. This new age idea of conditional submission is the stupidest rationalization that modern women are using to circumvent the reality that they're just obnoxious, insufferable, emasculating, disrespectful, and difficult. Survival mode? You mean like the more primitive societies on the continents of South America, Asia, Africa, where women are more cooperative and less combative because being cooperative optimizes survival efficiency? Women in the West are not in survival mode. They're in greedy mode, strong and independent mode, don't tell me how to live my life mode, I don't have to listen to you mode, I'm always right mode. They're simply disagreeable, emasculating, and disrespectful. And that's an internalized attitude that prosperity, affluence, and comfortability can't eviscerate.
Now, I want y'all to think about that for a second. And like you said, brothers, it is not your job to rescue anybody. I put a post up about that the other day. All this rescuing people. Listen, you're not James Bond and you're not, you know, you're not Tom Cruise. You're not Ethan Hunt. It's not your job to go on a Mission Impossible op. It's not your job. If she, and I've heard some men even say this, well, sometimes it's just maybe, you know, your job, nigga, it ain't my job. And I'm sorry, I don't even mean to talk like that because I've been trying not to say that word too much lately. It is not my job. It is not your job to rescue somebody who put themselves in the position where they need to be rescued. There's a difference between protecting somebody and rescuing somebody. If I tell you not to go down that dark alley with the flickering light and the shady characters that are wandering in and out, and you choose to and you choose to go, you just obfuscated my protection. You just obfuscated my protection. You literally bypassed my protection. That was me protecting you. And you go into the alley and you start screaming, help, help, help. Somebody's coming for me. Help, help. Now I got to rescue you. I told you not to go in there. Now we both might be in danger because you couldn't do what I asked you to do. And a woman that can't listen to you is a huge red flag. If you can't tell that woman in a second, hey, I need you to shut up real quick or shush. And she's the, who the hell you think talk to? Get up and leave. Get up and leave. There was a video going around about 2 years ago. And I believe it was Brazil. And there were these people at an outdoor restaurant. And it was a full restaurant. And this dude was sitting at the table with this woman. These cats came off the street and, you know, guns blazing and started robbing everybody. Now, here's the thing about this. He looked at her and you can see him nod his head like, let's go. So you can see her sort of like, you know, give him the hunch like, huh? Yo, homie ain't waste 2 seconds. He rolled out of that seat and peeled. The robbers, astounded by the situation, looked at him. And then proceeded to go back and finish robbing everybody else. You know, homie walked, literally, he didn't even run. He just peeled off, got on the sidewalk, and just started, and did a nice brisk walk. If she ain't ready to get down when you tell her to get down or whatever, those situations can cost you your life. And she's sitting there questioning you, questioning your leadership at that particular moment, then she ain't the one for you. It's not your fault that she doesn't respect that version of you. It's because she's never been taught how to follow. Just like the African sisters were saying before. The African sisters were saying that we are taught to listen to the men, to follow their leadership, to be submissive to them, to be, you know, attentive to his sexual needs, all those different things. When we talk to American black women, why do we have to be like that? In other words, why do we have to be feminine when we can be masculine like you? But don't no man really want a masculine woman. So, and the fellas, this is where I got to get on y'all. I got to get on y'all for this. Because there's a point in time where you have to stop trying to convince people, grown people, that they want something they don't want. Or they want to be something they don't want to be. You have got to stop that. I don't argue with nobody that tells me their standards and if I don't fit their standard. If I don't match their standard, I don't argue with nobody. I don't say much to them. I just keep it pushing. I'd rather be by myself than be miserable trying to make somebody happy that already showed me that they didn't want me or they didn't want to be what I wanted them to be. I've tried that way too much. I'm encroaching on a half a century on this planet. I ain't got time. I ain't got time. So, you know, I'm done with the whole sitting around.
What more do you want from me?
Yeah, I'm done with those days. A brother would rather be solo dolo. And listen, this ain't even just with women. This is with people, period. This is with your social groups. This is with people who try to pretend like they're your friend. This is what people... Listen, respect is paramount. And if that person doesn't have enough self-respect to want to be a better person, if they want to fight you to remain in their gutter ways, then so be it. Here's my biggest problem with black people. Black people, and I'm going to say black women in particular, but black people overall, hate standards. You know, one of the things that I identified, because people are trying to like find ways to say this, but they're not straightforward. And I was listening, like I said, I love listening to BGS, man. It's like going to school. I don't have to do the homework. I'm just, I mean, I don't have to turn the homework in. I'm listening to brothers trying to explain, you know, like the disdain that our women feel for us, or I'm listening to them trying to identify with it, right? And I'm at the point where I'm like, I really don't care. If you have disdain for us, then go somewhere else. Find other men. Men start nations with women. They pick the women to start their nations. There will be a black nationalist nation. It may just not be with African-American women. I'm perfectly fine with that. But there's also some other aspects to this, too. When our women show us that this level of disdain, right? And they're constantly, you know, doing it. It she don't like you. And she don't even know why she don't like you. She was just raised not to like you. Historically, you can go back to the plantations and buck breaking and a lot of different things. And you'll see how this narrative of how black men ain't sugar, honey, iced tea has been passed down for generations. To the point where even black men believe it. But the whole notion of standards and the reason why she can't be in a relationship with a man that has high standards or a so-called good man, brothers, it is not you. She just knows she can't keep up that facade because you're holding her to a standard she's not used to. And she definitely doesn't see you worthy of the work that's necessary to make her a better woman so that she could be more compatible to what you need. So she'll sabotage the relationship. She'll start dirty rumors about you. She'll do this shit while she'll be planning this while you're currently in the relationship with her. She'll be the first one with the story. The story gets out. She's the one that leaks it. The sensationalism of it all. She's the one. She has to dirty your name. What can she say? Publicly speaking, what can she say about you? Everybody sees when y'all are in public, you treat her with love and care, that you're extremely protective over her and her space, that you don't allow anybody to violate her boundaries, that you're attentive to her emotions. People see that publicly when you're out. So she can't say you're a horrible and abusive person. She can't say that. All she can do is try to talk about things that happen supposedly behind closed doors. Well, who's the proof? But we know in our community, everybody loves the drama that comes with shitting on black men. It's a whole industry. It's a cottage industry. Hell, they tried to remake it. They tried to relive it with the reintroduction of The Color Purple. That I'm glad flopped horribly on Christmas Day. It didn't flop on Christmas Day, but it damn sure flopped the next week. That movie lost so much money, it's going to put people in debt for years trying to figure out how they're going to scrap that project or get anything out of it. And if people want to challenge the things I say, they're more than welcome to. I just don't think they can. Not legitimately. Of course you can troll me. But that's what people do. People troll. And you troll, you insult people when you don't have the argument to combat what they say. And this is why I don't do like the Peacock dudes. I'm not even gonna argue with y'all, go back and forth. Y'all just wanna be animos for whatever reason. y'all just want to be contrary for whatever reason. It is just in your nature. Some of you can't help yourselves. And that's cool. I just distance myself from those who do. Because as Jordan Peterson says, every man should be dangerous. It's just a matter of being able to control, to sheath, to put your sword back into the sheath, to sheath your sword. And not slicing dice every Tom, Dick, and Harry that crosses your path with some bullshit. So with that said, family, as I sign off, just remember this. War and peace. Because if you want peace, You better be willing to wage war for it. Peace and blessings.